Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York with a very special 90-minute episode of our SmackDown Report. And you can get in on the conversation at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room. And we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. So why 90 minutes today? Well, there's a lot of news. And a lot of the news is much more important than the results of SmackDown, or what happened on SmackDown, which was an average to a slightly above average show, and we'll delve into that. But there's an awful lot of news breaking, so let's get right to some of the things, and we'll take them in no particular order of importance, but let's start with this. Alexa Bliss apparently was injured at her Hell in a Cell match. Now, they're downplaying this very much. They're saying it's no big deal. She's on light duty. She should be fine for her second part of her mixed match challenge because she was taken out of the mixed match challenge and replaced by Ember Moon because she was not able to compete. She was not able to compete because the day after the match, she woke up with numbness in her arm. Now, let me just say this. I don't place blame. Wrestling is a tough sport. And you're going to get injured. If you're a wrestler for more than a year, you're going to have an injury. Nature of the beast. And oftentimes it's your fault. Oftentimes it's, I didn't do what I should have here. My timing was off. This happened, that happened. Sometimes it's your opponent's fault and they make a mistake and you don't know. What I'm going to say here is probably going to be controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. She was injured in Ronda Rousey's match, and Ronda Rousey is overly aggressive because she's not properly trained. And when you just go wrenching people's arms so you can judo flip them 1,000 miles an hour without adequately giving them time to say, okay, we're ready, go, okay, go, this is what ends up happening. She didn't injure her arm walking to the ring, that's for sure. And now if Alexa Bliss is injured for any length of time, and we really don't know because the WWE, put it this way, if the WWE felt there was no blame to be had, they wouldn't have tried to cover up this injury. As a matter of fact, they would have exploited the injury. They would have said Alexa Bliss's arm was practically torn from the socket by Ronda Rousey. We don't even know when she's going to compete again. Ronda Rousey's that deadly. That's what they would have done. Remember when John Cena's nose got busted and they kept putting pictures of it up on the by Seth Rollins and they put pictures up on the website? Look what Seth Rollins did to John Cena. He did it on purpose. He's an SOB. He tried to kill John Cena. What they would have done, quite obviously, is they would have exploited this as Ronda Rousey is an extremely rugged and hard hitting individual, and her armbar is no joke, and it hurt Alexa Bliss. The reason they're not doing it is because they know that it was Ronda Rousey's lack of experience, or anything better word, that probably caused this, and they don't want to shine any light on that. She's had 2 or 3 solo matches. So let's see, you've had a couple of solo matches and 1 injury already. Not a good track record. Not a good track record. So where do we go from here where we don't know? They said she's on light duty. What does light duty mean? Well, I guess it means she can accompany people to the ring. If she wants to trip somebody or maybe take a punch to the head or something, I guess she can do that. But as far as being in a mixed match challenge, she can't do that. She cannot do that. And we don't know. they're being very closed-mouthed about this. They're saying, oh, it's not a big deal. She won't be out for any length of time. She's still around. It's not like she's even going to need to recover or anything. She's here. It's just she's not been cleared because she still has a little numbness or whatever in her arm. Well, let's hope that's all it is. Let's hope that that's all it is. But let us remember one very important thing. If Alexa Bliss had something much more important than the Mixed Match Challenge to do, she wouldn't be doing it. And it's not like Alexa Bliss is injury prone. She's had quite a few matches, even with Nia Jax, who's not exactly what I would call the safest person in the world. And I don't recall Alexa Bliss having to take elaborate lengths of time off. So I don't know what to say about this other than, you know, I warned you. I warned you that all was not perfect with this situation. And it just makes me wonder. It makes me wonder where we go from here. It really does. What do you think, Mike? Can you hear me? I guess Mike cannot hear me. I don't even know if we're on the air at this point, so I guess we're going to have to check. Todd, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I guess it's just Mike then. Todd, Alexa Bliss injured. She's injured during the match with Ronda Rousey. I'm not saying it's Ronda Rousey's fault, but I'm saying it seems suspicious that the WWE isn't playing this up. As
yeah,
you know,
you're absolutely right there. They're not playing this up like they're supposed to. Like you said, it's. I noticed that on, was it Monday night she was injured? I noticed something was wrong with her shoulder or something, and she wasn't able to get in the ring physically at all.
Yeah, what happened is she supposedly woke up Monday morning with a numbness in her arm. I imagine it was evaluated immediately, and so far, knock on wood, appear to be anything serious. But then again, we don't know. We don't know how the WWE is playing this, so we'll have to wait and see. All I know is it knocked her out of the mixed match challenge, at least round one. I don't know if it's knocked her out completely, but at least out of round one. So, I mean, I don't know. Very unusual situation, Mike.
It really is. And look, this is the same girl that when you do stuff to her arm, she can, I don't know how she does it, but she appears to dislocate her arm, and it looks painful, but obviously it's not because she's out there night after night after pulling this stuff. So it's somewhat more serious than they're letting on, like you said, you know. And again, it's all around the Rousey, you know.
It would seem that they would exploit it if it wasn't, you know. It would seem that they would love to say, look what happened to Alexa Bliss. That's what happens when you mess with Ronda Rousey. I don't know. That's what the WWE normally does. They're not doing it now. So we have that. Now let's talk about the Mixed Match Challenge, because the Mixed Match Challenge totally bombed. The ratings for that on Facebook Live are inconsequential. That's how small it is. It's inconsequential. No one is watching it. No one is watching it. So, the WWE... I'd better understand that Facebook Live is probably not the greatest outlet for their product. Put it on your network and see if people watch it. But Facebook Live is not working. Nobody's watching. And people aren't all that interested. And perhaps it's because there's just too much. And that will lead us to our next topic, which is apparently 205 Live is now moving. And we are going to have the following schedule. Sundays, once a month or maybe more, pay-per-view. Monday's Monday Night Raw. Tuesday will be SmackDown Live. Wednesday will be NXT and now 205 Live. And perhaps the Mae Young Classics up until that's over. So what does that really leave for wrestling fans? And then once in a while we're going to have that Saturday special from Australia. It's almost a daily thing. Wrestling's almost a daily thing now. And now people, the problem is people have only so much time to invest. And here's what ends up happening. People get busy and they say, well, I can't catch this show this week. I can't catch 205 Live this week. So I didn't catch it. And then maybe something happens next week and they don't catch it. And then they emotionally uninvest. They say, well, I've missed it now to the point where I don't know what's going on. I don't care. That's a huge mistake. Now, I know we live in the age where we can simply go onto the WWE Network and watch it any day we want. Too often people just forget and say, ah, well, you may be flooding the market a little bit too much. I mean, if you're going to have a day of wrestling or 2 days of wrestling, have it. But when it's every night, it becomes a little much, and people are going to miss episodes. They're going to miss 3 or 4 episodes. And because 205 Live is not doing well, this is why we're seeing Lio Rush in a managerial role. This is why we're seeing Drake Maverick in a managerial role. Because the market's being flooded. So now, you know, we had called for a women's show saying perhaps you should do a women's show. But and I still say it wouldn't be a bad investment in the WWE Network. But we do have to ask ourselves a question. And that question is, how much is too much? How much becomes, well, this is unwatchable. We can't devote 2 hours a night every night of our life to a WWE product. Because remember, there are a lot of people who don't have a radio show. There are a lot of people who aren't a journalist making a living off of wrestling, or there are a lot of people who aren't sports being paid by ESPN or Fox News or whatever to cover it. There's a lot of people who just work 9 to 5 and they're like, well, you know, I don't know. I like to do other things besides sit here and watch wrestling. So I like wrestling. But if I can't see it all, I feel like I'm missing stuff, so forget it, I'm not going to watch any of it. And I think that runs the risk of happening, Mike, if they do this every night of the week.
Well, I mean, it appears, yeah, you're right, but it also appears that, remember this, that after this contract is done with USA, where the rumors are that the Fox Sports wants to put them on Friday nights, you know, wants to put SmackDown on Friday nights. So that's Monday, Wednesdays, possibly Thursdays, and Fridays, you know. 4 days, still 4 days a week. It's still an awful lot of wrestling and stuff. Now, for fans like you and me, I mean, yeah, we're having our problems with Raw being boring and bad and all that stuff. But for fans like you and me and Todd and people like that, yeah, we're not going to get enough of it. But for the casual fans, it's just going to be, like you said, it's just going to be too much. Whereas you could probably stick 205 Live or a female show on Wednesday nights after NXT or something like that, you know?
Right, and I think what you've said is very important here. When you say the casual fan, because you're right, the hardcore fan is going to say, well, there's no such thing as too much wrestling. I watch wrestling if it's on 6 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week, I'll give it a shot. But then that's not who the WWE's playing to. That's the problem. If the WWE said, look, we are only going to play to our most ardent base, our hardcore fans, those fans have been with us forever and just love, love, love wrestling. That's who we're playing to. You're probably safe. But when you say, no, we got to PG it to death. We got to water it down so it appeals to everyone because we want all these casual fans. And then you give them overkill of it. That's when the casual fans walk away from it, Mike, and I'm having a little trouble with the phone, so you're going to have to bear with me. For some reason, the device that allows us to click these phones isn't working so well today, but I think I got you, Mike. That's what causes the casual fans to walk away.
Yeah, there's a reason there's a reason why, you know, back in the Attitude Era, you only had Mondays and Thursdays or Wednesdays or whenever they decided to put SmackDown on, or with the WCW, it was Mondays and Thursdays. You know, there's a reason. You know, you had, you know, Main Event and stuff like that that were syndicated shows that would appear on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever. But other than that, it was only 2 days a week, you know, and that was it. And way back when it was when they were syndicated, it was one day a week. It was only on Saturdays or Sundays or whatever, whenever, you know. And
right. And then a lot of people are saying, well, you know, we live in the age where you can binge watch. But you can't really binge watch wrestling because wrestling, I mean, Raw's 3 hours. So if you're going to binge watch Raw, you better dedicate your whole entire day and night to it. What are you going to binge watch? 4 episodes of Raw? If you watch 4 episodes of Raw, you've dedicated 16 hours of your life. You can't do it. You can't binge watch professional wrestling. So it's not like, well, you know, we binge watch Netflix or we binge watch whatever, because it won't work. So wrestling's got to consider that too. You say, well, we're on demand. You can watch us anytime. I know, but people aren't going to do that. Wrestling's different. So I don't know. It could be overkill. I want to go on to the next subject because this one is very, very, very important, and that is we have now confirmed that Shawn Michaels will indeed return to the ring, not just as a referee, but as a wrestler in Saudi Arabia. The way this is going to go, apparently, is that in their super show in Australia in a couple of weeks, Shawn Michaels will be at ringside for Triple H. And of course, as we heard Monday night, Kane will be at ringside for The Undertaker. This will obviously lead to something in which that will be settled in Saudi Arabia when DX, or whatever you want to say, Shawn Michaels and Triple H will take on the Brothers of Destruction, Kane, and The Undertaker. Now, normally you say, well, okay, that's all right. You know, they're following a storyline. But here's the problem that I'm having with this. It would appear to the casual observer that what's happening with Saudi Arabia is they are just throwing money at the WWE and booking their own matches. In other words, they have so much money to throw at the WWE that they literally say, we don't care, we want Shawn Michaels. Well, that would be extremely, extremely costly. I don't think we can get him to come back. He doesn't really want to. We don't care how much money we want to do that. We don't care if there's any plot line. We don't care if it fits into the WWE's narrative. We don't care if it's a current ongoing situation. Here's the people we want. Here's who we want them to fight. Here's the money to make it happen. And the WWE is saying, okay. So everyone who's been clamoring forever to get Shawn Michaels to do that one more match situation is either going to have to watch him do it in Saudi Arabia or they're going to miss it. Because the WWE wouldn't bring it to you. They wouldn't pay that money. They waited for the Saudi Arabian government to hand over that money. And there's no other way to put it. There's no politically correct way to put it because it's the truth. You don't think the WWE, if they could have pulled Shawn Michaels out of retirement for a WrestleMania match, would have done that at WrestleMania? You don't think the WWE would have done that? Shawn Michaels has steadfastly said, no, I don't want to come out of retirement. No, I don't feel like doing any more matches. No, my career's over. And the WWE has probably made him some very sweet offers, but not this sweet. Because there had to be a number by which Shawn Michaels said, well, for that kind of money, I'll lace up my boots. And I guarantee it's not coming out of the WWE's back pocket. It's just not, because they wouldn't make it in Saudi Arabia. There'd be no reason to make it in Saudi Arabia. They'd make it right here. They'd make it in Texas somewhere in his home. They'd make it something that counted. Not in some Saudi Arabian show. Where the fans really aren't even going to realize this is Shawn Michaels returning. Most of the people in that audience is not going to realize this is his first appearance in the ring after he said after losing the retirement match and you know, sticking by it and all that stuff. Most of them are, 95% of them aren't even going to know it. So what sense would it make for the WWE to make that particular venue his comeback? Why not the Australian Super Show? I'll tell you why. Because the money wasn't there. So right now, the Saudi Arabian government, apparently the WWE is the puppet of the Saudi Arabian government, and the Saudi Arabian government can say, and we also want Vince McMahon to face Stone Cold Steve Austin. Somehow they'll make it happen. Because they'll throw so much money at them that they say, well, I don't know. I mean, for that kind of money, I guess I'll have to give this a shot. So apparently they're now the bookers of their own matches. We want no women. We don't want Sami Zayn. We don't want any characters that might look like or appear to be or really are gay or lesbian. Well, not lesbian because you can't have any women. And we want to book the matches. We don't care who wins, but this is who we want to see. And the WWE is taking the money, putting it in their pocket, and saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. To the point where Kane, Glenn Jacobs, won his election to be the governor of Knoxville, Tennessee. Mayor of Knoxville, Tennessee. And said, in effect, only on the rarest occasions might I get back into the ring, but my focus has to be, and rightfully so, my political duties as mayor of Knoxville. Well, he just barely got his ass in that seat. And now he's going to make two appearances. Three, they're saying. And they know this isn't going to go over well. They know that this isn't going to look good. And Glenn Jacobs knows that this is not good. So what do? They go to Knoxville, and they generously, has nothing to do with we're taking your mayor away, though. We're just generously donating $100,000 to this town. And by the way, your mayor's going to come wrestle for us. Even though there might be some duties that he may need. I mean, after all, he gets a vacation. Yeah, but he's only been in office 3 weeks. So this is starting to bother me. Because the WWE solution to every single problem is not, let's morally fix this. It's not, listen, Saudi Arabia doesn't get to book the matches. I don't care how much money you have. You don't get to book our matches. We'll bring a show to you. You don't like the show we're bringing to you, don't hire us. But we'll bring you a show, but it's got to be conducive to what we're doing at the time. It's got to fit into our storylines. It's got to fit into our whatevers. You aren't pulling the strings. Right now we have Braun Strowman tearing it up against Roman Reigns. So you can't say, well, we want Braun Strowman to fight Batista. And we don't care what you got to do to get Batista here. That's what we want. And the WWE say, okay, because that's what they will do. The way that WWE is currently doing it, that's exactly what they do. They'd say, okay, then you got that. So that means the Saudi Arabian government is dictating what's on their card. Completely what's on their card and what isn't on their card. Even if it means pulling guys out of retirement because their pockets are lined with money. And they're telling the fans, oh, we're giving you this special thing. No, they're not. They're getting rich and saying, hold the storylines. Forget what we were doing. We got to make a pause. Pause in most of the storylines because we're shifting here because we're going to Saudi Arabia and they want this. So we have to deal with Triple H talking it up on TV. And that's what we're going to get for the Saudi Arabian thing. You wait and see. As soon as this Australian show is over, and it's fair game to plug this Australian show, but the only reason Triple H is fighting The Undertaker at the Australian show, mark my words, the only reason Triple H is fighting The Undertaker at this Australian show is because they already knew they were going to Saudi Arabia and the Saudi Arabian government wanted that this match. So the people, the powers that be in Saudi Arabia, we want to see these people. So they said, well, okay, well, then maybe we can do this for the Super Show and lead into the Saudi Arabian thing. Otherwise, there's no reason. What reason is there for Triple H to come out of retirement, The Undertaker to come back to fight him? What reason? None. And if Australia was the only reason, then it would end there, wouldn't it? Australia is the setup for Saudi Arabia. They had the Saudi Arabian thing done first and said, let's add this to the Australian card as a big event, and that'll lead into it. They're pulling the wool over our eyes while they're dancing like puppets to the tune of Saudi Arabia, and I'm tired of it. So it's time to just tell you like it is and expose it. And that's as simple as that. And they're just throwing money at anybody? They have to get done what they want to get done. It's like a real-life million-dollar man. Well, what is your price? Everybody's got a price, so what is it? And the newspapers and the sporting news and all of the sports shows, ESPN and Fox, and all of them announced WWE is going to Saudi Arabia like it's the most wonderful thing in the world. Not one person, not one that I've seen, and I've seen a lot of them, not one has criticized it. Not one has said, you know, this is probably not something the WWE wants to do. This is probably not a good thing. It's probably going to be construed as a money grab. And it's probably a negative thing to bring your product to a country that's doing this to women and gays and lesbians. Not one. Now, we live in an age right now, folks, where, listen, if you're 13 or 14 and you're listening to this show, maybe you don't watch a lot of news. But we live in an age where if anyone does anything politically incorrect, it is on the news 100% of the time. You can't turn a channel. You can't watch the Emmys. You can't watch the Grammys. You can't watch the Academy Awards. You can't watch a talk show. You can't watch anything without there being some political point of view. And oh, but all of a sudden the WWE does this and nobody's saying a word. There's not one person who thinks it's anything but, oh, they're going to do a show. That's cool. I find that odd. And I'm very disappointed in Glenn Jacobs because Glenn Jacobs, I watched Glenn Jacobs give his speeches and do his debates. And in it, he clearly said what comes first is Knoxville. Pro wrestling was a great part of my life, and I love it. And I wouldn't say that I will never, ever get in a ring again. But I would tell you this. Knoxville comes first. My duties as a mayor comes first. Yeah, I know. And you haven't even been in office 2 months, and you're leaving to go to Saudi Arabia. And Australia. And people say, well, it's only for a couple of days. It's not that big of a deal. Well, let me just ask you a question. What happens if he gets hurt? Terrible happens. And he can't fulfill his duties as mayor? Ever think about that? I don't know. This is weird times, folks. This is very, very weird times in the WWE. And Mike, I don't know if I agree with any of this.
I wouldn't either, you know. And that's the thing. I mean, think about it. They had to change. You're talking about changing storylines because you're going to Saudi Arabia. Remember what happened before on SmackDown directly before they went to Saudi Arabia with the Usos. The Usos were supposed to be a big deal with the Bludgeons. Well, what happened was, and we said the Bludgeons probably should have taken it further, but the whole thing with Naomi. Now, if it went to someplace else, maybe Naomi goes there and they can complete that storyline or further that storyline. But because she couldn't go to Saudi Arabia, they couldn't basically add to that storyline. And that's to your point. That's how these guys are. That's just one way these guys are messing with the WWE's booking. I mean, if you're you're going to give us $300 million, $400 million, $500 million, $1 billion, and you want Shawn Michaels? Okay, well, Shawn, we're going to give you $50 million. Come back and do this. Well, like you said, there's only so much that he's going to say no to before he can't say no, you know?
That's the thing. So then it becomes, just like I said, it becomes a money grab where what ends up happening is the WWE just says anything Saudi Arabia wants, Saudi Arabia gets. I promise you, you will not hear one advertisement in that arena. They might put it on the WWE network that Saudi Arabia doesn't get to see. You're not going to hear anything about Evolution pay-per-view because there's nothing to – why build it up? Saudi Arabia's not going to get it. They're not going to watch it. They can't see any women, even on a movie screen, apparently, in a wrestling outfit or even competing in a ring. So they'll put all that on hold. It's all on hold, folks. So now this is what it's become. The WWE is the court jester and Saudi Arabia is the king. And the king says, entertain me, fool. Dance. And the court jester dances. It's leaving a really bad taste in my mouth. This Saudi Arabia thing has done more to kill my passion for the WWE than any bad storylines, any awful booking, anything that has ever happened, and I'll tell you why. Because there's some things you cannot correct. You can correct bad booking. You can correct awful storylines. But once you've went to Saudi Arabia 2, 3, 4 times knowing, and this is the second time, knowing that there are women in prison on death row for doing nothing more than demanding their rights, and you saying, girls, stay home. We're in the middle of the women's evolution, I realize, but not here, we're not. Here, you're not welcome. Sami Zayn, even if you're healthy, your ass would be sitting home because you have Muslim blood in you and you are unwelcome, my friend. Let me ask a question. What happens if Saudi Arabia said we don't want any black people? What happens if they did that? What do you think would happen? It's the same thing, folks. It's the same thing. Would you be okay if you're a WWE fan and the WWE said, we're holding a super show and the return of Stone Cold Steve Austin, but we're holding it in a country where black people aren't welcome, so no black people will be on the card that day. But it's okay because we're going to have an all-black pay-per-view to make up for it. Would you be okay with that? Because I wouldn't be. I'd say you're taking money to sacrifice your morals. And you're doing it with a smile on your face and trying to tell us we're bringing you the best of the best of the best entertainment. But you get to see Stone Cold come back. Yeah, I know. But you're doing it in a country where black people aren't welcome. And they all had to stay home. And I don't want that. Well, I don't want the return of Shawn Michaels. I don't want the return of Shawn Michaels in a country where they've got women being threatened to be executed for asking for equal rights. Is that too much to ask? Is that a horrible thing? Am I crazy? How much money do you need? Enough! You've already been given more money than you can ever spend by Fox and ESPN and every other goddamn place. And now you got to go take it from people who are habitual human rights violators. Habitual human rights violators. And you play along with it. Because the almighty dollar and I'm disgusted with Shawn Michaels too. Because if Shawn Michaels really wanted to give the fans one more match, I love my fans. I love my fans. Then he'd say, my fans are in the United States of America. And even though they may watch it on pay-per-view, that's not good enough. Or they may watch it on that's not good enough. If I'm going to do a comeback, if I'm going to do one more match, it's damn sure going to be in this country. Nope, I'm fine with it because you're paying me. So I guess that's the great excuse now. So I guess it's perfectly okay. So if the WWE in the future wants to go to a country who says, no blacks, I don't want to hear anybody complain. If the WWE wants to go in the future to a country that says, nobody from Canada, I don't want to hear anybody complain. Maybe they want to go down there where that idiot is land grabbing from white farmers and they say, oh, we're just doing an all-black pay-per-view because white people aren't welcome here. I don't want to hear any complaints because apparently it's okay as long as the money's there. And apparently it's okay to look at your constituents and say, I'm going to be your mayor first. And foremost, and professional wrestling is something that's way in the rearview mirror, and once in a blue moon I might do a match, but it'll be on my own time when I have time off from my office. No, it's not that. It's, oh, how much money's involved? See you, Knoxville. So I don't know. That's why this show is a little bit longer today, folks, because this is a very important subject, and I know if you're 13 or 14, you probably don't care. But you should care. You really should. Because the bottom line is the WWE is supposed to be, this is what they say all the time, we are all inclusive. We do Black History Month. We do Hispanic History Month. We do Women's History Month. We do all these wonderful things for charity, and we're very big on the women's revolution, and we do all of these wonderful things. But if you want us to sacrifice our principles, you want us to totally throw our morals out the window, put enough zeros in the check, and we'll do it. Just not acceptable. It's just not. And yet, I look to our papers, I look to our news, I look to our sports news. I look for one beacon of light to say, hey, WWE, what the hell are you doing? We don't think you should be going to Saudi Arabia. We don't think you should be honoring them by allowing them to make you rich when they're doing all these horrible things to people. I'm waiting for one lousy person besides myself to do it. And nobody is. Nobody in the wrestling media is. Nobody in the regular sports media is. Nobody in the news media is. None of the papers are. It's like, oh, here's a big headline. WWE's going to Saudi Arabia. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's not wonderful. Mike, I don't know. It's like nobody cares. It's just like, oh, well, it's no big deal. I mean, the money's there and WWE's a business. So, hey, all's fair, but I don't see it that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, like you said, if the money's there, the money's there. I mean, same thing. It'd be the exact same thing in South Africa, if they were going to, go in there and they're going to pay them in diamonds and stuff like that, That type of thing during during apartheid. You know, Ron Simmons and S.D. Jones and Tony Atlas and a number of black people couldn't have gone, but oh, we're going to go there and we're going to do this. That's exactly where we're going. And like you said, the women can't go. Sami Zayn can't go. He went, but he was told not to wear his T-shirt supporting the gay pride, you know?
Yeah, Finn Balor, yeah. Look, the bottom line of this ridiculous situation is that the WWE has proven now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, then look, business always does come first. Business comes first, but morals should factor in. How much money do you need? You've signed a television deal that's made you billionaires. Do you really need the Saudi Arabians' dirty money? Do you really need that? And where will it end? How about if Iraq wants you to come over there and they want to give you all the money in the world? Is that okay? You want to go over and entertain ISIS? You want to do that? Just because they've got oil money? Oh, we got oil money. Could you get Stone Cold Steve Austin to fight The Rock for us, please? And our ISIS training camp? Could you do that? Because, you know, we're bored. Oh, yeah, we'll do it. How much money? Yeah, hey. I don't know, man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And what I also don't like is no one is coming forward. Not one single news source or sports source is coming forward criticizing them. And that makes me very suspicious. Anyway, let's get to SmackDown. Now, coming off one of the most horrid Raws of all time, SmackDown had very, very little to live up to. And they more than lived up, but they were not without their problems. So let's just first start, and again, I love The Miz, and love Daniel Bryan. And when The Miz starts off his Miz TV thing, and he's bringing out Maurice, I'm saying The Miz is cranking on all cylinders here tonight. And then they get into some territory where he's saying, well, the only reason Brie Bella even married Daniel Bryan is because she thought he was going to be a big WWE superstar and she could just latch on. And the only reason Daniel Bryan apparently married Brie is because she'll fight his battles for him, because he's too much of a wimp to do it. They're running into some great territory here. And then Daniel Bryan comes out and says, look, you can say whatever you want about me, but you're not going to talk about my wife. And a fight ensues. So far, so good, and everything's great. Then Maurice takes the world's worst bump. It didn't look like it would have hurt Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and she collapses in the worst acting job I have ever seen. She's not looking to look like she's hurt. Daniel Bryan now does a good job of saying, oh, that's not what I wanted. Shit, what did I do? He's doing a good job. In the meantime, The Miz, she's saying, I need water. The Miz is saying, okay, I'll get you water. He runs out to get her the water, or goes behind Daniel Bryan, and I think, okay, any second he's just going to nail Daniel Bryan. And then she just starts laughing, giving Daniel Bryan 15 seconds to realize, oh, this is a joke. And The Miz tries to give him his finisher, and it doesn't work out. And Daniel Bryan fights back, and it turns out that it backfires on The Miz. Bad booking. Would have been much better if Daniel Bryan really did buy into... Number one, you got to have a girl who can act, and she can't act. And if she's going to take a bump, make it look like it hurt, so even a wrestler says, damn, that didn't look good. Nope. So nobody's buying it. Daniel Bryan looks like the stupidest guy on planet Earth for buying it, because anyone would know she wasn't hurt. And on top of that, we get no heat for The Miz because Daniel Bryan avoids the trap. If she took a hellacious bump, and instantly The Miz is right there saying, oh my God. And Daniel Bryan's over there saying, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I did not mean this. You know, what have I done? That's great. And then The Miz hits him with the finisher, and him and her walk out arm in arm. That's a successful angle. This was just garbage, and that's why the fans didn't pop. fans didn't pop because they're like, ah, that didn't look like it hurt. We're not buying this. From the moment she got hit, it went downhill. Daniel Bryan did a good job of trying to save it. But Maurice was terrible in this, and I'm just telling you like it is. It's not like I don't like them. I do, but she was terrible. She did a terrible job. Killed the entire segment, Todd. It made it look so phony that nobody cared.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. It did make it look phony. Well, like you said, it's at least Daniel Bryan tried to save that skip, but no prevail. She just took the worst bump.
You can't save it. You can't save it because it didn't look like it could hurt anyone, Mike. It wasn't even a bump. It was just he softly runs into her in a corner, and she doesn't even – I can't even describe how bad it is. It just obviously she wasn't hurt.
Right. And I've been in different chat rooms, and people saying, well, it's almost the same thing as what happened with Naomi. But the problem is, one, Naomi's a better actress, and two, if the guys would have picked her up and threw her around a little bit, they threatened to, if they would have picked her up and thrown her around a little bit, you would have bought that because she's a better actress than they're just people that are better actresses, you know, than other people. I mean, we thought Eva Marie was horrible. I think what's her name is worse. Maurice.
Listen, if Maurice is going to take this, if this is what's going to happen, then a real professional wrestler who loves wrestling is going to say, you got to give me a good one. Of course you don't hurt me, but you got to make it look like you did. So that's her husband. If she doesn't trust her husband, just run into me as hard as you can, honey. Just don't really hurt me. But, I mean, make it look like I'll collapse like a house of cards. I'll go down. I won't hold my stomach and go, oh, I think that might have hurt me. I'm slowly falling to the ground, so I guess it did hurt me. No, she's got to go out like a light. Bam, done. Where you're like, holy shit, they just knocked that girl the fuck out. Nope, can't do it. It's beyond my scope. I'll only take the lightest hit, and then I have to very casually fall down to the mat. Then don't do it, because then you can't do the skit. Now, if you're telling me, well, I've just given birth, and I'm at this stage, I can't do it, then don't do it at all. Just say no, forget it, we'll do something else. But if you're going to go ahead and do it, then God damn it, do it right. And that was not done right. This was not done right. So it was ineffective. And that's one of the very few times that a Miz and Daniel Bryan skit was ineffective, but this was ineffective. Now we get Kofi Kingston against Cesaro. Very good match. Both of these guys are really good. Cesaro wins. Sets up the bar and the New Day. That's fine. You know, that's a good match. But it's nothing to really talk about. Let's talk about the things that matter. The things that matter is, there's just three things that matter here. The Becky Lynch coronation matters. AJ Styles and Andrade Cien Almas matter. And Rusev Day finally breaking up matter. So let's talk about the Rusev Day thing first. Once again, ridiculous, illogical, inconsistent storyline. If Aiden English was doing a slow burn, because every time he tried to help, he fucked up, then why did you show us him not fucking up? Why did you show us him actually sacrificing his body once or twice and helping them to get the win? Furthering his position that I am a valuable member of this team, why did you do that? If your goal was to make him a backstabbing bastard who is ineffectual, that's, to be honest with you, that's a lousy, lousy, lousy booking angle anyway, because what are you trying to say? A guy that can't get out of his own way and gets his ass beat all the time is going to be a match for Rusev when they go one-on-one? That doesn't make any sense. So then if your storyline was, no, he's not really a bumbling idiot. He's doing this on purpose because he's jealous of Rusev. then under no circumstances should he ever have sacrificed his own body once or twice to get their Rusev Day a win. Because then that made it appear that it was going to be Rusev who was going to be the unappreciative SOB who says, I don't care how much time he sacrificed for me, I don't like him anymore. I don't forgive him. But no, you didn't do that. Rusev says, look, you need to stay behind this time because too many incidents are happening. And this is too important. I'm just going out by myself or with Lana. And he goes crazy and says, I'm the reason Rusev Day is a success. Well, what are you talking about? How would that even be logical for him to think that when he knows how many times he screwed up and you can see it on his face? He always was like, I know I screwed up. 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 And then you turn around and say, I'm the reason we're successful. The right way to have played this, if you were going to do this, is to let Aiden English have some solo matches where he's doing very well and have Rusev and Lana be very happy that he's doing very well. But in the meantime, he's screwing up Rusev's matches. And he's saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But then he screws one up on purpose and says, I was never sorry. I screwed him up on purpose. Because he always thought he was better than me. I know how good I can do. I don't need this team. Look what I've been doing on my own. Rusev's just a dead weight, just a fat anchor, weighing me down, him and his stupid wife. So this was my way of saying goodbye to Rusev Day. Then it works. It doesn't work if he's a bumbling idiot who can't get out of his own way, and then he does manage once or twice to save the day, and then he says, I'm the only reason Rusev Day is successful, and then he turns on Rusev, and you say, well, what the hell kind of match is this going to be? That would be like James Ellsworth turning on Dean Ambrose and saying, I'm the reason Dean Ambrose is successful, and you say, okay, well, Dean Ambrose is going to beat his ass raw, and then what? So this was done totally ass backwards. And that's why the fans weren't really into it. A, they didn't want him to break up at all. But B, if they did want him to break up, there should have been much more to this. This should have been something that you just build and build and build and build and say, it's coming. But you sent all kinds of mixed signals. Yes, he's screwing up every single week. We're going to find out this is intentional. Oh, no, maybe we're not going to, because now twice in a row he saved him. Maybe it's going to go the other way, going this way. By that time, fans didn't care. You should have done that slow build with Aiden English getting his matches and winning a lot of matches, feeling confident that I could do this on my own, and then it would make sense for him to say, I don't need Rusev Day. I don't need any of this. Look how good I do on my own. Those two are just holding me down. And I send them a message that I'm the reason they were successful. Then it works. Mike, it doesn't work this way because it's illogical.
And furthermore, yeah, you're right. And furthermore, they made it even more of a clusterfuck a few months back when they decided to bring Lana into it and have her act like a bitch to him, you know? You know, that's the start of this whole thing. I mean, yeah, we want to see Lana, those three together. There's no doubt that the fans want to see those three together. But the way they tried to put them together is not the way they should have tried to put them together in the first place.
Absolutely not. And then, Mike, how illogical is it that your wife is standing right next to you before you're going out to do a match? You're telling the man who basically is saying, I'm not for this team anymore. And all she has to say to him, he's saying, no, don't say nothing to me now. I'm concentrating. She, okay, I guess I won't tell you that this guy's going to stab you in the back. Wouldn't you say, you can't let this guy go out with you because he just told you. It takes 1 second to squeal. And she, okay, I won't say anything. I thought they might have Lana turn. I thought they might have Aiden English and Lana somehow hook up because I was like, why would she not just say, no, you're not going out with him, not after what I just heard him say? Then it would have made sense. But for her to say, okay, I guess I just won't say anything. I'll let you walk out with a guy who basically has said you're garbage to him. That doesn't make any sense, Mike.
It really doesn't. And again, if they're trying to push the reset button on this whole thing, if they found out, if they finally got it through their head to kind of paint themselves in the corner with this thing, then fine, but there are better ways to try and push a reset button if they're going that way, you know?
And then, Mike, even worse, why is Rusev distracted? Because Aiden English climbs on the ring apron, grabs a microphone, and screams Rusev crush like Lana always did? Why would he be so distracted by that? Just, you know, work on your opponent. What do you care who's on the ringside yelling Rusev crush? What he should have done, but of course it's too PG and politically correct, is Lana should have went to grab that microphone, not on the ring apron, but right near wherever she's standing, to yell Rusev crush, and he should have shoved her out of the way, grabbed the microphone, maybe she falls down, he jumps up on the ring apron, Rusev's like, what happened to Lana? You just shoved my wife. Then that's something that you say, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? That might distract you. Just having this guy jump up on a ring apron and yell Rusev crush should not distract a professional athlete from his match, Mike.
You're right, and look, that again, what you just said, but that scenario that you just said is almost the same thing as what happened with Naomi. You know, with Naomi. Oh, we can't have them throw her around or even threaten her. It's not politically correct.
But they can have Maurice ran into, and they can have Brie Bella thrown out of, or yanked out of the ring by The Miz.
Yeah, I mean,
it makes no sense. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing makes no sense. That's why fans aren't going to buy this Rusev Day breakup, because it doesn't make any sense. You had three possible storylines with Rusev. One is that Aiden English is really a bumbling idiot who's doing his best, and he loves being a part of Rusev Day. But he's a bumbling idiot. But Rusev keeps forgiving him and forgiving him and forgiving him and forgiving him. But Lana's the bitch who finally puts the wedge in it and says he's not right, and she sets him up to fail. And as much as Aiden English is trying to say, it's your wife who's doing this, your wife is causing these things to happen, I'm not, Rusev's going to say, no, you're not going to drive a wedge between me and my wife, you need to get out of here. And then eventually, maybe, I don't know what the payoff to that is, but you could have done that. Or you could have had him be the bumbling idiot and then reveal, I'm not really a bumbling idiot, I have been sabotaging your matches on purpose. But then you got to start building him up as a guy who, on his own, can hold his own. Because then you say, well, he might be a match for Rusev. Now he doesn't appear to be a match for Rusev. He's never been booked to be a match for Rusev. Or the third one is, you can have him be a bumbling idiot who finally gets his moment where he saves the day a couple times. And all of a sudden, he turns it on, and he's the guy always getting the pinfall at Rusev Day. He's the guy who's really coming into his own, and Rusev gets jealous, and Lana gets jealous, and they attack him and say he was trying to steal the spotlight away from Rusev Day. That works. Any of those work better than this, because what you ended up with is an incompetent, bumbling idiot who has never established himself as a tough opponent to any wrestler, turns on a guy who for a long period of time was undefeated. So what is your payoff? A preliminary match? Even if you let Aiden English win, fans aren't going to buy it, because they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Well, Aiden English is suddenly good enough to pin Rusev. When Almas threw him all around the ring like a rag doll, he didn't even get a punch. Can't have it. It's illogical. That's why it doesn't work, Todd, because the fans won't buy it if it has no basis in logic or past booking. And there's nothing in Aiden English's past booking that says he's a match for Rusev.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, that's not a payoff right there. It's like a mid-card feud. Like, come on now. Where's the big payoff?
And there's no payoff. There's zero payoff to this. It's going to be a one and done, probably. Unless they do something ridiculous with it and have Lana go with Aiden English for a while or something. I don't know what the hell. I don't know how they can save this. I don't think they can. And now you've just killed the whole Rusev Day thing. So I don't know. Then I'll tell you something else I'm not for. They have the interview with AJ Styles. And instead of AJ Styles, in typical face fashion, saying, look, the referee's decision is final. And I know I'm a lucky guy. Because I'm not denying what that tape shows. Joe got me. Maybe I was a little bit too hot-headed in that match. Maybe I allowed personal things to get in the way. And he had me. But you know what? And this part he did say, but karma bit him in the ass. Because when you live by the sword, you die by the sword, Joe. And you cheated and you cheated and you cheated and you cheated. And guess what? The referee blew a call. Maybe that's karma. But I'm not going to lie. I tapped out. Should I be the champion? Probably not. I know that. My fans know that. And so I owe it to the fans to give them a rematch. And I'll beat them. Because until then, I don't really feel like the champion. Instead of just saying, yeah, oh, well, tough. Hey, them's the breaks, kid. Got one over on you. That's something a bad guy does. That's something a heel does. And it makes AJ look weak. Then he goes out and has a really sensational match with Almas. You know, listen, Almas is real good. I've told you that before. Almas is real good. And if they don't allow Almas to do what Almas can do, then they are idiots, because Almas can really bring a lot to the SmackDown roster. And him and AJ worked very well together this match, much better than their first match. Much better. And even though AJ wins, which of course he has to if he's setting up for Joe, and then Joe attacks him again and AJ runs him off, we are still left with that feeling that AJ Styles isn't really the champion and he doesn't care. See, that's the thing. It goes to motivation. It's okay that he isn't really the champion. It's okay that he tapped out. Everybody's human. It's not okay that he doesn't care. I would have rather heard AJ Styles say, you got what you deserved. Karma bit you in the ass. But I can't sleep at night because I know I'm not the champion. I know I didn't earn it. And until I pin you, I won't feel like this belt is really, really mine. I'll feel like karma dealt me a good hand. But that's not enough. I want these people and myself to feel like I am the champion because I'm that good. But he didn't say that. He's just like, oh, well, tough break for you, kid. I'll take it. And I just think that weakened the whole AJ Styles persona of the, you know, phenomenal one and playing by the rules. I don't know, Mike. I just don't like the way they took the direction of that.
Right. I mean, this is a scenario that I could very easily see for, I don't know, take any of those heels with a championship. Let's say Nakamura. You know, same thing. Put Nakamura in the same situation and have him say the same thing, and you would buy it because that's exactly what he's a heel, and that's exactly what a heel would say. You know, screw you, I won, you lost. You know, that
right.
type of thing.
Right.
You know. But that's not AJ Styles' character right now. Again, we've seen it over and over and over again. They with different things. They're having these guys and or gals play against the character they've been playing for how long has AJ Styles been playing this character? I mean, last
right.
time he was a heel, he was with the Good Brothers, you know?
Right, right. It's been a while. You're absolutely right, Mike. That's the problem, is when things become illogical and fans say, this is out of character for this person, then it's hard to buy into. And the WWE does that a lot. When they said, ladies and gentlemen, our SmackDown champion here, our WWE heavyweight champion, AJ Styles, I said, okay, here it comes. AJ's going to come out with his head down a little bit and say, you know, she's going to say, congratulations on your big victory, and he's going to say, you know what, stop. There was no big victory here. Everybody saw what happened. And until I can correct that, Joe's right. Joe's running around here saying he should be the champion, and Joe's right, and I know I got lucky. And as much as I'd love to say, hey, Joe, karma bit you in the ass for being a no-good SOB, it doesn't do anything to make me feel any better about myself. So I'm going to correct that. I'm giving Joe his rematch. That's what I wanted to hear from this AJ Styles, because I think that's what that AJ Styles character would say. But that's not what we heard. So what's the illogical things in the show? Daniel Bryan falls for a girl being hit that looks like she wasn't hurt at all. Lana is standing right next to her husband, who was about to make the biggest mistake in her career, and just because he says, "Don't talk to me now, I'm concentrating," she allows him to make that big mistake, rather than to say, "Oh no, you're not going out there until you hear what I have to say." Wouldn't it have been better if we found out? How about if Aiden English just walked up to Rusev all by himself and said, "I just wanted to say congratulations," and Rusev says, "You know what? Maybe I was wrong. Lead me to the ring. Where's Lana?" She's coming. I don't know. And then you find out that Aiden English had grabbed her and tied her up somewhere or shut her in a closet somewhere. And she makes her way out to ringside last minute and says, and starts throwing down with Aiden English. And that's what distracts Rusev, is why is Lana attacking Aiden? The hell's going on? That makes more sense than a woman who supposedly cares about you and your career just saying, "Okay, I'll be quiet because you told me to," even though you're about to walk into the disaster zone. That doesn't make any sense. So fans didn't buy that. Then AJ gives this, "I don't care if I won by a bad decision. I'm the champion. Who cares?" That is not AJ. None of that makes any sense. Now, the Becky Lynch coronation thing, they're trying so hard to make you boo Becky Lynch. I mean, she's going to have to kick a puppy. I can't think of anything else. If you got a puppy that, bounces, you might have to have her kick a puppy. Because the bottom line of the situation is, no one's booing Becky Lynch. And week after week after week, you can have her say whatever horrible thing you want about Charlotte. You can have her sneak attack Charlotte. You can have her try to humiliate Charlotte. You can have her say whatever she wants. The fans are not booing her. Because you told a bad story. You knew where the fans' loyalties lied. And you went in the direct opposite direction against the grain, saying no. Instead of listening to the voice of the fans and saying, "This ain't going to work." Was there one guy in your writing staff that had the balls to say, "This ain't going to work because these fans love Becky Lynch"? So I fear we're going to have a backlash and they're going to start booing Charlotte. And is that what we want? Because if that's what we want, fine. But if that's not what we want, we're not going to be able to turn this around. It's going to backfire. So let's all be honest with ourselves before we jump into this. Do we want Charlotte booed? Because that's where this is heading. Not one person had the balls to say that, apparently. Or they really didn't think that would happen. Now, if you didn't have the balls to say it, I don't know. Maybe you need your job. But if you really didn't know it, you shouldn't have your job. You should not have your job, because I would have in 2 seconds said, "Wait a minute, you're doing what? They're not going to boo Becky Lynch. This whole crowd is going to go crazy when Becky Lynch turns. They're all going to start chanting Becky. What's that going to do to Charlotte? So you sure you want to do that to Charlotte? Because if we got plans for a switch of Charlotte down the road, then okay. But if you want Charlotte to be the big hero, this ain't the way." No, they didn't do that at all. So all of this illogical stuff, and here's another illogical thing. Randy Orton goes to the production and says, "I want you to find me that moment where I'm twisting Jeff Hardy's ear because I want to watch it again." Well, don't you have the WWE Network, Randy? What a stupid thing. The problem with SmackDown this week is the matches were great. They were all really well done. The matches were pretty damn good, but the logic factor in this show was zero. And you did more to damage the storylines than improve them. And here's my proof. Nobody cared about the Daniel Bryan thing because it looked awful. So it didn't get the reaction it should have, when it could have got a really good reaction. Can you imagine if The Miz steamrolled into Maurice? She's on the ground literally coughing up like she can't catch her breath. And the Miz is, who's a pretty good actor, is actually red-faced and crying, saying, oh, my God, get the people down here. Hurry up, hurry up. And Daniel Bryan, beside himself, saying, oh, my God, I'm responsible for this. Jesus Christ. You know, having a nervous breakdown practically over it, saying, please, please, please forgive me. Please. Hurry, please, people, hurry. Get down here. As she's coughing up and spewing up, and he's paying no attention to Daniel Bryan, saying, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Let her get strapped on that stretcher with the Miz, you know, right there next to her. And then when Daniel Bryan's saying, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, and he's trying to walk with a stretcher, that's when the Miz should have attacked. And Maurice can roll off the stretcher, and they could beat his ass, both of them, start kicking on him and everything, and leave him laying there in a heap while they walk back laughing about it. Then when Daniel Bryan storms back and says, I've about had enough of this. See, I didn't think the Miz even was that low. I didn't think he was that low. Then that makes sense, where Daniel Bryan's like, the gloves are off now, I'm done. When you're that low of a human being, then I'm done. Whatever I do to him now is justified. I don't give a damn anymore. That works. If Rusev invites Aiden English to come out with him, because mysteriously Lana went back to her dressing room for a minute. She said she'll be right out. And it turns out he locked her in there. Or locked her in a broom closet somewhere. She comes running out after she escapes, attacks Aiden English just about the time Rusev's ready to win the belt. Rusev turns around and says, what in the blue hell is going on? And Nakamura hits him with a finisher, 1, 2, 3. That makes sense. If AJ Styles says, I know I'm not the champ, you don't think that eats at me? A lot of people have been telling me Joe got karma, Joe got what he deserved, and they're right. Joe did get what he deserved, but I didn't deserve that. I don't deserve to feel like a half champion. I don't deserve to feel like a lucky champion. And the fans do not deserve to have a champion like that. So I got to correct this. Not because I did Joe wrong. Because I did my fans wrong. And for myself. That's logical. That's what AJ Styles would do. And if you showed Randy Orton in a dressing room, just watching that moment where he's twisting Jeff Hardy's ear over and over and over again while someone was trying to interview him and him saying, excuse me. My favorite part's coming up again. Don't talk to me. That would have been eerie and creepy and weird. A lot of this is just illogical. All of these things would have been the same exact thing you wanted to get out of your SmackDown, but it would have been a million times more logical. That's what's killing me. You had it in the palm of your hands. You had all of that in the palm of your hands. And you blew it. And then what you really should have done, if you want me to be perfectly honest, what you really should have done, and the fans would have went nutso, is you should have had Becky Lynch have her come to Jesus moment already. Where she's being corrected, and she wants everybody out there, and then she says, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I tried the hardest I possibly could. She's a good actress. All she has to say is, I tried the hardest I possibly could to be that non-caring whatever girl who turns her back on everybody and just says to hell with it, but I can't do it. And what I did was wrong. I guess I was just jealous. I guess I was just upset. So the best thing I can do is just give Charlotte her rematch. And Charlotte, I know I left you hanging last week. Come in here and give me a handshake. And we'll just settle this like women. This isn't good for the women's revolution. This isn't good for anything. We all made mistakes. Charlotte, you did it too. There was a time in your life you weren't a very nice person. So let's just forget it. And then when Charlotte gets in there to be the better person and says, you know what? This is what I've been waiting for to hear. I knew you'd come around. Let Charlotte attack Becky. and say she was absolutely right about everything she said. I was born to be the champion. I don't need to wait in line. I don't need to prove myself. All I needed to do was come back and beat some third-rate former champion, and I got thrown into the mix. And I took my opportunity just like my dad always taught me. I'm the dirtiest player in the game. But they don't want to do that because Charlotte's got to be the hero. But the fans want Becky Lynch to be the hero. Easily can have all of the things you want, WWE. All you have to do is take a deep breath and say, wait a minute, what's the pulse of the fans here? Are the fans going to believe that Aiden English is any match based on the booking that we have done for him? Is Aiden English any match for Rusev? The answer is no! So why feud him? And then some genius will raise his hand and say, but we'll let Aiden win the first match. And fans will say, I don't even care about the feud anymore because that's stupid. How can Aiden English beat Rusev? He couldn't beat anybody before. If you were going to do this, how come Aiden English wasn't given a series of solo matches where he did very well? And have the announcers play up, well, man, Aiden English is coming into his own here. I mean, he's had some big victories here. Then Aiden English could rightfully say, I don't need this tag team. I never needed this tag team. I just needed to springboard my career and show you what I could really do. I was always stuck in loser tag teams. Doesn't make sense now. Mike, they had everything on SmackDown that they needed, and they did the illogical thing every single time.
You're right, and that's the thing. And right now, what the fans want is, and I can speak because I want it. I want Becky Lynch to be the I don't give a damn person. Basically, I want her to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, that's what I want her to be. I mean, at one point, that's what I wanted Sarah Logan to be, because that's the type of thing that's how she appeared to be. You know. But right now, I want Becky to be that, and that's no joke. And that's why I think they kind of changed Sarah Logan's gimmick, because they saw that Becky was kind of carrying that thing, that Stone Cold type of gimmick off, a little, that last kicker gimmick off of, better than Logan was. Yeah, Logan was good at it, but Becky Lynch is better.
Yeah, look, the bottom line of the situation is this. Becky Lynch could have still done her apology to Charlotte and still been that hard edge, saying, I'm not going to change my attitude, but I will admit that maybe I went a little too far. Sneak attacking you and stuff. Then we could have had Charlotte flip. WWE says we always listen to our fans. Your fans are chanting Becky Lynch. Now they're going to say, well, she has the belt, doesn't she? Yeah. She has the belt, but you're trying so hard to make us boo her. Why? Why are you trying this hard to make us boo her if you always listen to your fans? The fans say we don't want to boo her. So, just in a recap, Maurice did a horrible job, horrible, horrible, horrible job, and totally ruined that entire segment. It was not believable at all for any reason, and Daniel Bryan should have never got the upper hand. Maurice and The Miz should have left Daniel Bryan lying. Daniel Bryan should have been livid and say, I never thought a human being would stoop that low. Now the gloves are off. I'm done with The Miz. I'm done. Whatever I do to him, he deserves. Would have been great. AJ Styles should have been very complacent champion who says, look, I know I'm lucky. It's very easy to dismiss it and say Joe got what he deserved. Joe got bit by karma. And maybe he did, but that doesn't make me feel any better about what happened. That doesn't make me feel like a champion. It doesn't give these people the phenomenal champion I told them I was. So in some ways, I feel like I lost. And until I beat Joe, I'm never going to feel like this strap is really, really mine. So to all those people who say Joe got what he deserved, it's easy to say. But you guys didn't get what you deserved, and I didn't get what I deserved, and that's a real victory over Joe. That's what AJ Styles would have said. Then we'd have something. Lana needs to not go up to Rusev and say, I need to tell you something very important. Why would she even say that? She'd say, Rusev, guess what he just did? Guess what he just said about you? No, I need to tell you something very important. Not now, Lana. But it's very, 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 very important. Not now, Lana. But this is really earth-shattering. She just blurted out. So why couldn't Aiden English have locked her in the goddamn closet somewhere and just came walking up to Rusev saying, well, I want to wish you luck anyway. And then Rusev, as the nice guy now, remember, he's supposed to be Mr. Nice Guy, says, you know what, Aiden, maybe I was wrong. Go ahead and walk me out. Where's Lana? Oh, I don't know. She had to go back to the dressing room. She's coming. That way, Rusev could just keep looking around like, where's Lana? Where's Lana? How come Lana's not here? And that would be, hey, I'm being distracted during my match. Then when Lana comes running out and attacks Aiden English, Rusev legitimately would be distracted, saying, what the hell is going on? And then if Shinsuke Nakamura hits him with a kick, that's logical. It's not logical for Rusev to turn around, ignore his opponent just because Aiden English got up on the ring and said, Rusev crush. That's not logical. That makes Rusev look like a complete moron who can't focus on a match. And it's not logical you broke him up anyway, because Aiden English has not been booked to this moment to be anyone who would give Rusev a threat. So what? Now that he's a bad guy, he's suddenly a better wrestler? He's lost to everybody. You haven't given him any build-up at all to make us think, oh, well, Rusev could be in for it now. Plus, you would have made it more personal if he locked his wife in a closet somewhere. That would not be good. And again, Randy Orton has to go to the truck to have to rewatch Hell in a Cell? You don't have the WWE Network? That's illogical and makes no sense. That was almost jumping the shark. Where you say, now it's becoming cartoonish. Now they're trying to make him so evil and so sadistic that it's a joke. You have to watch that. You got to be very careful. Don't undo all the good you did in Hell in a Cell. Now, having said that, all of these matches were good. Especially AJ Styles and Almas. Almas is the real deal. He really is. Like Derek is saying in the chat room, he said the WWE's trained us to believe that about every wrestler has ADHD. Yeah. Rusev is a trained athlete, but because Aiden English jumps up on the ring apron and says, Rusev, crush, he turns around and says, I wonder what's happening here. There's Aiden, and he's standing on the ring apron. I wonder why. Am I fighting? Is there an opponent in the ring? Up. I forgot. Silly me. You got to give the fans a reason to believe Rusev really would be distracted. And if from the very beginning you booked it that Rusev keeps saying to Aiden English, even when he's in control of the match, where's Lana? I thought you said she was coming. Aiden could be shrugging his shoulders. I don't know. That would make Rusev worried. So now you got a worried Rusev who, you know, Nakamura's beating him up a little. Rusev gets the advantage. When he knocks Nakamura down, he goes back to the ring apron and says, she's still not here. Go back. Find out where she is. Something's wrong. And Aiden's not going back. So now Rusev's like, I'm worried. What the freak's going on? And then the next thing you know, he's about to win the belt, and here comes Lana running out like a mad woman and jump on Aiden English, slapping him and hitting him and punching him. And Rusev's saying, what in the hell? That would distract you. Now, that would distract you. So then if Rusev says, what in the hell is going on, and he gets hit, 1, 2, 3, you say, well, that made sense. But that still does not obliterate the fact that Aiden English has never been booked to be a guy who would be a threat to Rusev in the ring. So it's still a feud about nothing because Aiden English has not gotten that push. He should have been getting that solo push from the beginning where Rusev walks out with his matches and English is very impressive. And that way English could have came out next Tuesday and said, have you people been asleep? Have you seen everything I've done in my solo matches? I don't need this tag team. That was the WWE's idea. Just like it was the WWE's idea to put me in that other stupid tag team that went nowhere. It's always, oh, Aiden's a tag team guy. Aiden's a tag team guy. Yeah, and then I make every tag team that I'm in at the expense of my own solo career. and the other guy gets the credit. Well, no more. I made Rusev Day. I'm better than that. Better than Rusev. Was better than my other tag team partner. I proved it. And I'll prove it again. That makes sense. All that makes sense. And fans can buy that. We can't buy this. Lana's standing right next to him saying, really, it's really important. Can I just have 1 minute to tell you what's really important? In the time she was telling you it's important, she could have told him. I mean, it was just very poorly written. Very poorly written. If that's the best the Road Dogg can do, ever get on Twitter and tell fans they don't know how to interpret a story because you can't write. If it's not the Road Dogg, then whoever it is can't write. Because you can get to the same point and be logical. I can understand it if you say, well, there's no way to get to this point without a little bit of illogical whatever. But there, I've just told you, there's two or three ways to get to this point by being perfectly logical. For that reason, I cannot give SmackDown a high grade, even though I liked all the matches. Because I don't think it did anything to further any of these feuds. If anything, I think it made some of them look cartoonish and weird and not real anymore. So for that reason, I'm giving it a C-. The matches I would give probably a B+. Unfortunately, matches alone do not make professional wrestling, Mike. So C- from me.
I'll start it off by saying, if this show had taken place in a vacuum, and, you know, if this was truly another company, you know, I would agree with you, but you got to say you got to compare it to Raw, and in comparing it to Raw, I got to give it a C.
Okay, so you're giving it a C. I think where you're probably making your mistake, though, is you don't have to compare it to Raw. It's a different brand. It's a different brand. If Raw never existed, and this was the WWE show this week, it's not a good show. If you compare it to Raw, anything's a good show. I could watch my cats fighting over their toy, and it's a better show than Raw was this week. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with you. I got to give it a C-.
Yeah, look, either way, C-, whatever, it wasn't a good show. It was filled with some good wrestling matches, but it was filled with such illogical booking that I don't like the way the future is looking for this. AJ Styles comes off looking like a guy who says, I don't care if I'm lucky, as long as I'm the champion, that's all that counts. That's not AJ Styles. Rusev comes out looking like a moron who's easily distracted by a preliminary wrestler who has no booking ability by his own booking to beat him. Randy Orton comes off as a moron. I don't know. I just don't think it was a very good show this week. Anyway, folks, that's our show. We will talk to you on Sunday with more Wrestle Chat Radio. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.